We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
So, last week during our leaders meeting, man, if you come regularly, I encourage you to come to leaders meeting. You kind of get fed twice if you want to know the truth. And a lot of times you get next week's message in a preview. But last week, you know, I came in with this, and one of our students came up to me and said, "Hey, if you're going to be doing something, can I help?" Now, I don't know what this young lady was anticipating me doing with a pickaxe. I want you to pray for the wisdom in our students, because anything you could volunteer for me to do to you with a pickaxe would require a level of healing and paramedic attention that I'm not sure this church is ready to have. But no, so last week in our leaders meeting, I began to talk about gold. How many of you guys have ever heard the expression that they've got gold inside of them? We're going to take a look at that today. I believe that every person, matter of fact, can I make a statement of fact that every person has gold inside of them? You're going to like this. According to factslides.com, that's true. Our bodies contain 0.2 milligrams of gold. Most of it lies within our blood. There is blood and there is gold inside of every living human. And do you know that the funny thing is that at the point of death, or shortly after death, as your body begins to naturally decompose, the first thing that it does is it begins to lose its fluids. Because at the end of your life is when your gold and your value in this world end. There's no need to have it anymore. Because by the end of life, you will have either fulfilled or aborted the gold that was inside of you. Now, we're going to take a look at it more from a gold being a value in your life. But the thing that I found in doing all this research about gold is the first thing about gold is it's very rarely found at the surface. You always have to go dig for it. It requires back-breaking work. Let me give you a couple of stats on gold. I thought this stuff was just cool. The world's largest gold bar weighs 551 pounds. This is not in my notes, but Mr. T's gold necklace set was worth like $122,000. That's free, by the way. Don't ask me why. Did you know that gold has been discovered on every continent on Earth? Now, when I first read that, I was like, well, that's cool, you know. Ooh. But could it be that God wanted to assign value to every tribe and tongue of people that he created, regardless of where they were from or what the color of their skin was or what they looked? Could it be that the reason that there's gold on every continent is because God isn't a fan of nations, but rather a fan of people? Did you know that during earthquakes, I did a bunch of research on this because I thought this was a lie, but that during earthquakes is when water is pressurized and turned into gold? That there is a process that happens where water and friction and all that creates gold particles? And it really tripped me out because it kind of fit with my message that it's only under the pressure of circumstance do we find the gold that's inside of us. I promise I've got scripture for this. I just thought some of these were cool. That three Olympics pools can hold all the gold ever mined in the world. I guess somebody just looked at me and went, what? Three Olympic swimming pools can hold all the pure gold ever mined. Watch this. I actually know that number, but I'm not going to give it to you. The world pours more steel in an hour than it has ever poured in gold, pure gold, since the beginning of recorded history. Do you know why? Because gold is rare. And it's not because there is a lack of gold. There is a super abundance of gold. But the hard part is getting to it. See, I think this about people. I don't think that the problem is that people don't have gold inside of them. I think the problem is that most people don't have the tenacity to go dig it out. Or when they start mining it, they get just enough of it that they get satisfied and they don't want to do the work that it takes to get every ounce of it that's in there out. I'm guilty of it. When you start eating clean and then you decide it's just one cookie, you're not reaching your full, potential, you're settling. Or you're on the treadmill and you've done a mile and you've spent 30 minutes doing it and you've decided that that counts as a good workout because you went to the gym. Now, there is some benefit in the habit of going to the gym, but you're not squeezing everything you can out of it. Or let's take it a step further. There can be church discipline that you don't have. There can be spiritual discipline that you don't have. There can be gold inside of you that you're not really willing to mine for. Job is my scripture text today. We're talking about gold, and we're about to go to Job. We're talking about expectation and the fullness of everything that God has for you, and we're about to go to Job. We're talking about finding gold in people, and we're going to Job. To me, Job and Revelation are the two most avoided scripture texts in history. The books that you just want to avoid, because if you're looking to get encouraged, don't go to Job. Stay out of Job. I never will forget this, that when I first got saved, I thought that the book of Job was the book of Job. I wish I was making that up. So what happens is this, as we go to the book of Job, and if you know anything about Job seemingly, when you look at worldly possessions, Job had it all going. Job was a man of faith. He was a man of character. He was a man of integrity. Job looked like he was squeezing everything he could out of his life. And then in the midst of it, Job lost it all. This statement is made in Job 23:10. But he knows the way that I should take. The he that he's talking about is God. It says, for he, God, knows the way that I should take. And when he, God, has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Here's what Job knew that most people don't know. That I can never really reach my true potential until I've gone through my true test. Until I've been put under pressure and stuff forms inside of me that I didn't even know was there. I didn't even know that that chemical reaction could take place in my life until I got to this place of digging. Because I promise you this, the first thing that a problem does is it causes you to dig. It causes you to push deep inside yourself to see what's going on. It causes you to evaluate your relationships with God, your relationships with other people. Because what problems do and what testing does is it sees what you really know. Do you hear people say this? I don't test well. Yep. Now, there's some truth to that. But what if in your faith you don't test well? Like you can do it when everything's going right, but you don't test well. Well, what you do is you have to keep repeating the class until you can pass the test. Because until you can pass the test, I don't mean this bad, you don't know anything. You can be a contractor and know all the right angles to cut. You can be a mechanic and know all the systems and all the parts. But until you can make them work in practicality, you don't know anything. Well, it's the pressure of the test. Until you can operate, I don't want a doctor who can operate any way he can except under pressure. Because it's only under pressure that I really need his expertise. It's only under pressure that you will find the gold that's inside of you, because you will find out what's really inside of you. And if you keep failing the same testing over and over again, maybe you just need to dig a little deeper. That maybe there's more inside of you than what you thought. The word says this, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. God said this. He said, I'm never going to give you a pop quiz that you didn't know anything about. But what he says is this, every test that I'm going to send your way, you're going to know the answers to. Now, you may have to go dig for them. You know, the difference between an expert and a novice is not how much they actually know. It's where they know to get the answers from. So here's the thing. What if in your faith walk, rather than react, because here's what we do. We are reactional. We react to situations, and oftentimes that's what causes us to fail our test. What if we worried about passing the test when the test came? It's like this. I know to turn the other cheek, but when I go to Walmart, it's tested. I know that when I drive on 4085, can I get a witness from anybody? My faith and my turn the other cheek scripture knowledge, tested. And could it be that I get behind the worst drivers all the time because the enemy knows that that's what pushes my buttons? And could it also be that sometimes it's not the enemy that sent that bad driver, that it could have been the Lord? Because in order to work out my imperfections, I have to go through things that I don't want to face. A couple things you should know about gold. If you do it old school or even new school, I did some research and I watched some Discovery Channel gold programs, is I find out that no matter what method you use for digging gold, it's all backbreaking work. I've also found out that the gold is always it's always hidden in the deep, dark places that most people don't want to go to. And the number one thing that I learned is that it takes time to get it out. There's no process that's ever been invented that doesn't take time. Finding the gold that God hid inside of you is going to be backbreaking work. It's going to be hidden in the deep parts of you that you don't want to go to. And it's going to take you time. Because see, when I say this, most people automatically have this thing that comes to mind that they keep going around and around and around and they keep failing at. Here's the thing. The enemy tries to hide your gold with three things primarily. The first is your past sin. Because the enemy can get you thinking about how bad you are. You won't figure out what you can do. Because here's the thing. I can talk about mining for gold inside of you, but if I don't tell you how to mine for it, I really haven't told you anything. Digging for gold, when it comes to a biblical perspective, is about trying to find why you were put here, to glorify God in doing that, and to love people. God called us to be servants. Man, nobody wants to be a servant anymore. Everybody wants to be a leader. And Jesus said, if you want to be first, get last. If you really want to move ahead in the kingdom, try to get in the back of the line. What does that mean? I mean, because that sounds like, man, I can't have any ambition or anything else. No, what it means is this. Man, I'm looking for as many opportunities as I can to be a blessing to other people. When you're yelling at somebody through your car window, you can't be a blessing to them. Because somebody else is riding by going, look at that idiot yelling at, are they singing? Are they, right? We rode by a car full of puppies yesterday. Thank you. They were, out of everything I've taught today, that got the most reaction. So there was it was a little confusing. So we were riding behind this truck and they had hunting beagles, like AKC register. And on one side, they had the adult dogs, and then on the other side, they had the puppies. And so we were on one side, and the guy kind of got over, so I was like, we're going to go look at the puppies. I don't know why at 75 miles an hour it seemed like a good idea to try, because finally my wife looked at me and goes, you drive, we'll look at the puppies. And then here's what she said, oh, look at the little one. No, you look at the road. Oh, look at the brown one. I'm like, you're not helping me. You ever figured that out, that when you try to stay focused on what the Lord's doing, somebody's telling you to look at the puppies? Because you got to remember, for every 1 hour of steel that's poured, of non-precious metal, it takes an eternity to get the same amount of gold. staying focused on who you're really called to be. Well, I don't know who I'm called to be. Well, work on what you do know. People all the time want to tell me what they don't know about God. Well, tell me what you do know about God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. God said, Jesus summed up the whole scripture in two verses. They said, Jesus, pick out the best commandments. Tell us the ones that we really need to follow to get into heaven. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with everything that's inside of you. And the second is as unto the first, love your neighbors yourself. Well, I don't go around yelling at me. And if I do, they're probably going to put me in one of them jackets where the hands touch in the back. But here's the thing. What if I just went around and I tried to love people like Jesus loved them? And I don't mean the ones you like. I mean the other group. Like the ones where you really have thought about things that we don't talk about because we're in church. How many of you guys have heard this? Just put your hand up just so that we can track. If I said, do good to those who despitefully use you, put your hand up. You ever heard that in Scripture? Okay, well, now you've heard it. It's in Scripture. Do good to those who pray for those who despitefully use you. Have you heard that? Put your hand up. Just so I know. When was the last time you prayed for somebody who used you? I mean, I'm not talking about, Lord, rain down fire in heaven and cause their car to break. I'm talking about the other prayer that Jesus would have prayed. Does this make sense? What if us digging for gold looked like us trying to be as much Christ-like as we could become in every and all situations, understanding that it's going to be hard, that it's going to be difficult. Three ways the enemy gets you to bury your gold. Reminding you of past sin. Reminding you of struggles. See, there's a difference in sin and struggles. You can struggle with something, not sin to it. I could expand on that, but I'm not going to. The last one, what about memories? Things from your past that scarred you so deep that you're still not sure you'll ever heal. That because of these events, somehow you're less than. I mean, they can be easy. They can be as, well, let me show you how simple it can be. My mom and dad didn't even want, I was unplanned. They didn't even want me when they had me. That's nothing you did, but automatically you're establishing your own self-worth. You know what? My parents weren't even married, and I was like one of those, whoops, here I am, kind of that, right? I mean, I've been illegitimate from birth. Nobody would want me. Nobody could use me, especially not God. Do you see how those memories can affect your ability to see gold inside of yourself? But here's the other thing. If you don't see gold inside of yourself, nobody else will. Yep. Do you know why women will stay with a bad man? You're taking my notes now. I'm preaching this. I got people on the front rows going, well, I tell you, that might have been rhetorical, but let me preach right here. No, it's good, but it's truth. Because they don't see the value inside of themselves. Why do we sit and we go, you know what, God doesn't want to talk to me, and God doesn't want, when God looked at you and said, you know what, I created you with gold inside of you, and I'm going to take everything that goes on in your life, if you'll let me, and I'll take all those pressures and all those problems and all that history and all these struggles, and through the pressure of those things, I will actually turn more gold out in you. Like beyond just what I put in you, I will continue to make gold. I will continue to make you more valuable through your process. Here's the problem. You got to keep digging. Every day is about getting up and digging and seeing if we can find some chunk of gold laying somewhere. Because what's the whole point of digging for gold? Getting rich. Anybody go, hey, I'm going to go dig for gold and see how broke I can get today. No, the idea is that they're going to strike a vein of gold. And if you can hit a vein of gold, you can make millions and millions and millions in a very small tract of land. But real gold miners will buy vast amounts of land because they're looking for that pay streak. They're looking for that pay dirt, right? They're looking for things to start changing in the midst of the pressure. And once they find a little, man, you let a real gold miner find a piece. I mean, if you look at what sometimes they're mining and getting hundreds of dollars for, it's little flakes. Pure gold in a flaked form after it's been burned off, and that's a whole different message, and it's had water and heat applied to it, and you get rid of the byproduct, and all you're left, it takes a very small amount of real gold. See, most gold that we walk around in has been mixed with so much stuff. It's like this, they said that, and don't hold me exactly to this, but I read it in my research. It said something about a gold medal from the Olympics only has like 0.103 ounces of gold in it. It's not really a gold medal. It's like a goldish medal. It's a gold-looking medal. Well, see, and what that caused me to do is I said, you know what, God? I don't want to finish running my race of life and figure out that I had a goldish medal. Does that make sense? Like I may not be perfect, but I at least want to see the imperfection. And I don't want to hide from it. I just want to go, look, man, you know, because you don't go into a gold miner shack and they're in there with their heat and their pan and they're getting rid of the impurities. You don't see them walk in. They go, what are you doing? I go, nothing. I'm just burning this. It's just pure gold. And they walk in and say, what are you doing? They go, man, I'm working on this. I'm trying to get rid of the impurities so I've got something that's more valuable. When was the last time we looked at our own life and said, you know what, man, I'm not perfect. But there's some gold inside of me, and when I find a streak of gold, I'm going to find it. When I find that God's using me in this way, I'm just going to keep going down that path and seeing how much He can use me. And if the gold runs out in that area, I'm just going to move to a new part of land and start digging in it. I'm going to quit giving up, and I'm going to really see what all is inside of me. And when people look at me and they ask me what I'm trying to do, I'm going to be like, look, I'm trying to get rid of the imperfections. So like if you actually ride with me on a good day, somebody cuts me off, I'm just going to talk about Jesus. And on a bad day, I may have to ask for Jesus' forgiveness. Because obviously there could be some impurity there that still needs to be burned off. If you see me in Walmart and my head's starting to spin around and my eyes and I'm starting to talk, you know what I mean? Just pray for me because I'm still mining. But what if we, this matic is actually what this is. It's not a pickaxe, but it didn't fit my message to call it a matic. Last time I used it, I had to lay a piece of pipe, and my father-in-law, who goes here, is 77, one of those numbers. He's in his 70s. And we went out to bury a 4-inch pipe in the ground in North Carolina. In the clay, and we did it in the summer, the one with no rain. My father-in-law came down, and I had it out, and I'm getting my hole, and I worked and worked, sweated, and I got about a foot. And I thought, dear Jesus, you're going to be back before this hole's dug. No, really, I thought that. My father-in-law came down at 76 years old, because it was a year ago. He said, hey, man, let me help you dig. He's country. He's been doing his stuff since he was, like, born. And he did the same amount of time and got down to here. Then I started feeling bad about myself. Because, see, what happens sometimes in the faith is we forget that our work is valuable. And that rather than comparing ourselves to the people who are trying to help us, we should just let them help us. Because what I tried to do is I tried to grab this thing and do the same thing he did. And about gave myself a heat stroke. No, for real. Like I had an oxygen tent because I felt like my lungs were about to turn inside out. And I hand it back to him. He said, oh, you know, I just say slow and he's going like this. Like one of them ditch witch things. My wife came home that night from work and she said, well, how did it go? I see y'all got it done. I said, we didn't get it done. Your daddy got it done. I'm half his age. He smoked me. And she said, well, did you help? And I said, well, yeah, I helped, but I didn't, kind of. See, sometimes what happens is in order for you to get to the goal, you've got to let people help you. And rather than comparing your work, you've just got to do the best that you can. Because God made us one body to get to the goal. See, what a lot of times we want to do is we want to dig for gold because we want all the credit. And we think that we have to do it by ourselves. People that really mine for gold don't mine by themselves. They mine in teams. That's why God created the church. Because in order to get the gold out of all of us, some of us are going to be better at digging. But I'm going to say this. If Irving needs something looked up on the internet, he doesn't have the internet. I don't think he's ever owned a computer that I know of. He'll go down and go, hey, next time you're on the internet, can you look and find a... Yeah, I may not be able to dig a hole, but you need something done on the internet. I'm your guy. You're trying to figure out a piece of electronics. I am there. You got an engine to fix? Call somebody else. If your home is in disarray, call somebody else, like 15 other people before you get to me. I mean, I'll come help. Ish. But that doesn't mean that I'm not valuable. I'm valuable for what the Lord sent me here to do. Because to do my job, I don't necessarily need to be. To do my calling, I don't necessarily have to be great with a hammer. I dig with different tools. But I'm going to say this. When people are sick, the folks that God has called into the medical field, I thank God that He put you in our church. Because I'll call you in the middle of the night. Right? Some people can already testify to this. I've called some of our paramedics at times of the day when you should never call anybody. And you know what they've all done? They've answered the phone. And they've let what God has gifted them in minister to somebody else when they needed it the most. So you don't think that selling cars is a ministry till somebody's car breaks down and they got to find a deal. Then knowing somebody in the car industry makes a whole lot of sense. You don't know that being a mechanic is a big deal till you got somebody broke that really needs a hand up. Can I get a witness from somebody? I mean, this, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see being an electrician as being a ministry. Well, it's not till your power goes out. And can I get a witness? But if we mine our gold, but we mine it together. Does this make sense? When I'm just trying to be the best version and get the most out of me, understanding that these pressures that come, they've got to come. John 16:33 said, these things I have spoken to you that in me you might have peace. Jesus said, I'm about to tell you something, and I'm not telling like to freak you out, but I need you just to find peace in it, okay? In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus, I don't know what planet you grew up on. But tribulation does not equal cheer. It equals worry and stress. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus said, look, I'm going to tell you this so that you can find peace. You're going to have problems, but understand this, that I'm never going to give you a problem that I haven't already supplied the answer to. So your job is to be of good cheer. You find the gold in the problem. Is this making sense to you? Well, what if in my problem I can't find the good? What if I still can't find it? Well, it takes time and backbreaking work. Keep digging. There's gold in it. You dig the hole deep enough, you're going to find some gold. Well, what if it's not here? Well, try over there. Does this make any sense to you? Exodus 19:5 says this. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be a special. The word special there is unique in its original text. Then you shall be a special, unique treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. God said this. Another translation said that you shall be a special jewel to me. Now watch this. Here's where God lets you know how to find the gold inside yourself. He said this. If you will indeed obey my voice. Now this is Exodus. This is before the Holy Spirit has come in and nudges our hearts and gives us direction, right? He said, if you'll just take the written word and obey it to the best of your ability. And keep my covenant. What's a covenant? That's the covenant agreed between me and God. What is a covenant? A covenant is the same covenant. And this is horrible because in our world nowadays, the marriage covenant is treated like it's kind of a promise. Like it's a promise with your fingers. Remember when you were little and you crossed your fingers behind your back and that made the lie that you were about to tell not a lie anymore? What if we went back and remembered? What if we went back and remembered our covenant? The agreement that we had between us and God. What was the agreement? That you save me and I live how you want me to. He said, if you'll do those two things, he said, if you just keep my written word and follow my Holy Spirit and let me be your God, then I'm going to make you something so special that you won't even be able to figure out what to do with it. So as we come to close, here's my challenge to you. That if there are areas of your life that you can't seem to find any value, you see them only as trouble, you see them only as a problem, that you see them only as, that you get the courage to go inside yourself and dig. If you see yourself as a mediocre mom or a horrible dad, or you don't see yourself as a very good Christ follower, that if you'll dig just a little bit deeper, you may find something more there. Or maybe you're the opposite of that. Maybe you say, you know what, Pastor, I've got it together, man. I feel like I'm living pretty good for Christ, and I'm a good husband, I'm a good dad, I'm a good mom, I'm a good wife. I'm pretty good. But what if there's more? What if there's more God wants to do in you? Are you willing to go through the process of digging to figure out what it is? Well, yeah, but I've done it for a while. But you know, maybe I never really figured out that it's hard. And it's supposed to be hard. And it's supposed to take some time. Because if it came quick and it came easy, it would just be common. It would just be metal. And you can pour metal in an hour. The same amount it'll take you lifetimes to mine in gold. But if you really want a life of value, if you really want a life that matters and makes a difference, are you willing to put the time and the work in to find why you were really created, to squeeze every ounce of potential out of your life, out of your faith? You know, we've got folks going to Haiti soon. We've got folks going to Africa. And I thank God for all that. I back that 110%. But God put you here for a reason. What if you dig in and find out what that reason is? What if you finally gave way and turned loose of every excuse that you ever had why you couldn't be everything that God kind of planted in the back of your mind that you've been afraid to admit to? What if you finally turned loose and just jumped out of the plane and trusted that the parachute was going to catch you? Because see, that's where the gold's found. The gold's found in the fall. It's found in the pressure. What if you finally, for the first time maybe ever, I said, okay, God, I'm going to let you make in me everything you want to make. And I'm going to let the gold that you planted inside of me come to the surface. Father, today as we come to close, God, I just ask that in this place, God, that you be glorified, but more important than in this building, God, in our lives be glorified. God, let our lives reflect you. God, let it reflect the gold that you put inside of us. God, you said that when you created us with a purpose and a destiny. God, I believe that part of that destiny is value, and that value is gold. It's treasure, God. It's something that you put inside of us that nobody else can do, God, that you've called us to reach people that nobody else can reach. God, that you called us to do something that nobody else can do. So, Father, this morning, let in your people, these folks that are sitting listening to this, God, whether it's by podcast or in this room or over the internet or however they're doing it, God, just let value rise up in their own mind, God, so that they see themselves the way that you see them, God, that they see the potential. But God, then give them the courage and the resolve, God, to dig for it. Father, that over time, that as they run their race, God, you'll produce the gold, the metal, the value in them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.